The first reading today is from Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 3, verses 28 and 29. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. The second reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 10. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. Here ends today's lesson.
These songs are from a period of our history when chattel slavery was still legal in some of our states. Chattel slavery has been called that peculiar institution. And that peculiar institution has marked and flawed us as a nation from the beginning until this very day. It has marked us as a racist society. And we are still dealing with racism, whether we want to acknowledge that or not. The defamation of Jackie Robinson's statue this week with racial slurs. The city council in Beaver Creek, Ohio, which is resisting the movement of public transportation from Dayton into their community because it's going to bring more African Americans to shop in their mall. The Trayvon Martin case that has caused even our president to comment on the realities of racism. Racism at its heart is about prejudice plus power. Prejudice plus power. We want to think, we want to hope that we're a colorblind society. That Martin Luther King's vision of 50 years ago this August on that I Have a Dream speech has become a reality. But it hasn't. Race still matters in many ways that are hurtful to those who aren't the same color as all of us in the sanctuary this morning. How many of you have been stopped by the sheriff or the police for a DWB? Probably nobody. You know what a DWB is? Driving while black. Nearly all of my African American friends can tell stories about being stopped, and the only reason was the color of their skin and the neighborhood they were driving in. Racism is prejudice plus power. Goes back to the foundation of our nation. and understanding that people of color were less than the white Europeans. It's what allowed us as a nation to commit genocide against the indigenous peoples and to write into our Constitution that black slaves counted as 3/5 of a person when you were figuring out the number of folks in a state to develop political representation. Well, if you're 3/5 of a person, you're not whole. You're inferior. We fought a horrible, terrible civil war to end slavery. To hold the Union together, but to hold the Union together, we had to end slavery. But racism didn't end with that war. It popped up again in all the Jim Crow laws, both in the culture and the laws of segregation. I suspect many of us can remember traveling in the South when we saw white-only signs, whether in restaurants or restrooms or waiting rooms for public transportation. Prejudice plus power. I just finished reading last week a most disturbing book that I would recommend to you if you haven't read it yet, called The New Jim Crow. How many of you have read The New Jim Crow? Written by Michelle Alexander, who is on the staff at The Ohio State University. She's a principal in the Killowen Institute, which works on matters of race and culture. I've met Michelle. I had the privilege a couple years ago to spend 2 days with her in a workshop dealing with race, sponsored by the Ohio Council of Churches, and it was an excellent workshop, and it was about half African American and half white, so it was a powerful couple of days. As she's looking at her book in The New Jim Crow, it's the disproportionate number of African American men that are in the criminal justice system. Either they're incarcerated or they are now out, but they're felons and in a subcast, a racial undercast, as she calls it. And the racial stereotyping of young blacks as dangerous, as criminals, we saw lived out in the Trayvon Martin case, where a young African American is in a neighborhood where somebody doesn't think he should belong. The statistics on the disproportionate number of young African Americans that are in the criminal justice system is staggering. And I don't think that's just an accident. It's prejudice plus power. I'm a part of Michigan Prophetic Voices. We're trying to make it less than small, trying to make it a bigger group, primarily of clergy, although some lay folk, from across the Christian spectrum and so far a few Jewish rabbis and cantors are participating in that group. And one of the things that we've begun to explore is working with a group of teenagers in Detroit to break the school-to-prison pipeline. Detroit and a number of other urban schools practice out-of-school detention for sometimes minor offenses. And so youth can be suspended for 5 or 10 days out of school with no supervision. What does that lead to? Leads to trouble in many cases. How do you break that? With in-school detention, but it costs money. So we're working to try to change some legislation, to find some funds, to change the policies, to break that school-to-prison pipeline. One small step. We need to recognize that racism is a white problem. We're the ones who benefit. We're the ones who are privileged. And I'm probably one of the most privileged people in the sanctuary. I'm white. I'm male. I'm a property owner. I'm heterosexual. I don't think about my privilege. It's just the way it is. It's the way it's supposed to be. No, it's not the way it's supposed to be. Those short scripture texts that Penny read remind us that in God's eyes, all people are equal. Doesn't matter about gender, it doesn't matter about skin color, doesn't matter about age, it doesn't matter about sexual orientation. You shouldn't be privileged just by our skin color. Now, I'm not trying to make you or me feel guilty this morning. That's not the point. That's not going to do anything about changing the system. But we do need to be conscious and aware of the ongoing reality of race in our society. We are not a colorblind society, no matter how much we want to believe that. Now, there's no easy answers. There's no simple solution, because it just is so prevalent. But there are things we can begin to do. We can raise questions about why is the sentence for crack cocaine so much longer than for powdered cocaine? That's what gets so many young African-American men in prison. What can we do to stop the school-to-prison pipeline? And we can be conscious. We can be conscious of our own privilege and how we benefit from the cultural racism and the systemic racism. I was aware more than once when I was in either a fast food restaurant or some place where there were multiple folk kind waiting to be served. In Columbus, which has a fairly significant both African as well as African American population, that almost invariably the clerk, whether white or black, would call on me first. Not necessarily because I was there first, but I was a white male. Simple thing. But I was being privileged. I would frequently defer to somebody else who I knew had been there earlier. And both that person and the clerk would often be surprised. Not to feel guilty, but to be conscious. To be conscious of the reality of race in our society. And what our scriptures say, that all people are equal in God's sight. Men and women, Jew and Greek, black and white, gay and straight, it makes no difference. And we need to work hard to make that a reality both in our church, in our society, in our nation, and hopefully in our world. Amen.